Welcome back. So, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, May 29th, 2018, the day after Memorial Day. Want to get to some clips, but so hopefully you understand the irony. So the National Moment of Remembrance Act in 2000, the resolution where Americans are encouraged wherever they are at 3 p.m. local time on Memorial Day to pause for a minute in a symbolic act of unity to, quote, remember and honor the men and women of the United States who died in the pursuit of freedom and peace. That is, again, staggering propaganda and Orwellian doublespeak, newspeak. From the mini true, which is anything but true. Who died in the pursuit of freedom and peace? Really? For whom? So, again, you know, if this were, I mean, you could think about this on a mass scale and you start to get a vision of, you know, like a Hitchcockian or a like a Rod Serling sort of scene where people just pause and in Orwellian fashion, they just stop what they're doing and stare off into nowhere. Why? They're not quite sure. You know, it's like the old story about the woman who cut the ends off the ham. She always cut the ends off the ham. One day her daughter asked, "Why do you do that, Mom?" She said, "Because my mom did it and her mom did it, and that's just the way you do it." Well, come to find out, her mom's mom did it one time because her oven was too small for the whole ham to fit in the oven. So there was a reason. But, you know, you get this vision of people just staring off into the distance for no apparent reason. Remember and honor the men and women of the United States who died in the pursuit of freedom and peace. No, it wasn't in the pursuit of freedom and peace. I'm sorry, but it wasn't. When you have a foreign policy like what we have, we were warned from the beginning by the father of the Constitution that this path we have been set upon will lead to nothing but further conflict and chaos and strife and death and destruction, and our own undoing. That's the reality. This is not in the pursuit of freedom and peace. This is the conquest that folks like Wesley Clark intimated that Donald Rumsfeld told him in the Pentagon back in the 90s, no one's going to tell us who we're going to bomb. So that's what it's really all about. Hegemony, power, control. It's always been about that, as far as this epic is concerned. And we just need to be honest about that. I will mention briefly, and then we'll go to the clips and phones, the link that Larry sent me, The Truth About Memorial Day, which is an interesting article. Rebuttal by the anti-New York Times. And, you know, going through this, sorry, but, you know, it's not what we've been led to believe. So this line from the article, so this Memorial Day, with all due respect to veterans, let us dispense with the all this thank you for our freedom BS and declare a more historically accurate gratitude to the deserving parties. Ahem. You know, 1898, thank you globalists for the gift of the Spanish-American War. Why did we, what happened there? What were the false pretenses there? Well, we'll get to Patrick Clausen helping us out on that in a minute. Thank you, globalists, for the gift of the Spanish-American War, in which 2,450 Americans were killed so that the New World Order could establish a presence in the Asian Pacific, Philippines, and Guam. And again, you know, this subject matter, Smedley Butler obviously weighed in on very unequivocally. 1898 to 1913, thank you, globalists, for the gift of the Philippines War, in which 4,200 Americans were killed, so that the Filipinos, to whom you promised independence in exchange for rising up against Spain, could be kept under control. And by the way, you know, there was Hawaii in this time frame as well. Go and read at the resorts. I mean, it hasn't been that long. Go and read on the walls of the resorts, you know, conquest, which always brings me back. I want to read Thoreau's Walden, that broader excerpt that I always think of, you know, and these people welcome their conquerors basically with open arms and the sort of hospitality you could only hope for from best friends and family. So there's Hawaii too. What's the Hawaiian flag all about? You know, speaking of this subject, but again, I digress. Continuing, 1900 to 1901, thank you, globalists, for the Boxer Rebellion, in which 131 Americans were killed so that the Chinese could be kept in line. Speaking of British colonies, oh no, not anymore. What was that, 1998, I want to say? Not anymore, sure. 1917 to 1918, thank you, globalists and Zionists, for World War I, in which 120,000 Americans were killed so that the first steps of world government could be taken in Europe. League of Nations, speaking of Edward Mandel House, but the League of Nations was disbanded. Oh no, wait, it wasn't. And Palestine could be stolen from the Turks and their Arab subjects. Exactly, turning the region upside down. 1941 to 45, thank you, globalists and Zionists, for World War II, in which 410,000 Americans were killed so that Germany and Japan could be enslaved to the New World Order, and Britain eventually forced to turn over most of Palestine to the Jews. Yeah, the Anglophile network operating, so that's slightly disingenuous there, but still. And, you know, not entirely. It would have been one thing, again, if you had just, if the whole region were just considered modern day Israel, but you have to have this contrived conflict persist in order for the conflict to persist. Because if we just said, you know what, this is what it is, people would get back to, you know, life as usual, so to speak. They would find a way to adjust. But because the conflict is allowed to persist, well, you know, the conflict persists. And so that gets back to Pike's letter to Mazzini back in on August 15, 1871. That's a different discussion. 1950 to 53, thank you, globalists, for the Korean War, in which 36,000 Americans were killed in a rigged no-win war designed to maintain a permanent tripwire between the two Koreas. 65 to 75, thank you, globalists, for the Vietnam War, in which 58,000 Americans were killed in another rigged no-win war designed to drain and destabilize America. 82 to 84, thank you, globalists and Zionists, for the Beirut deployment. And of course, before that, there was again the Afghan trap, you know, the CIA's Operation Cyclone. And there are many others along the way as well, but these are some of the high points. 82 to 84, thank you, globalists and Zionists, for the Beirut deployment, in which 266 Americans were killed in a false flag attack staged by Israel and blamed on terrorists, quote unquote. And again, you know, when this subject arises, you think of books by folks like William Bloom, or who else am I thinking of? I can't think of it. Anyway, there's another one. Yeah, I can't think of it. Anyway, definitely William Bloom, though. but 1990 to 91, thank you, globalists and Zionists, for the Gulf War, in which 300 Americans were killed so that the rising power of politically independent Iraq could be weakened. Speaking of that, you know, we see the images that circulate of Iraq and, you know, Libya and Syria and various other, Yemen and other places. Iraq Iraq and Libya and Syria in particular, and what they used to look like, and the rubble, the ash heap that they are now. And then there's the picture of Iran. What's next? Speaking of this nonsense and the dishonoring of the memory of the men and women who have died during armed service. 2001 to 2011, thank you globalists and Zionists for the war on terror, in which 7,000 Americans were killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, but we're still there. As part of a multi-trillion-dollar farce kicked off after the false flag terror attacks of September 11, 2001. And, you know, on the story goes. So, you know, that's a more – who benefits? Again, back to Smedley Butler's War as a Racket and the – I mean, he wrote it all. You know, 33-plus years, almost 34 years in the Marines and War is a Racket, Chapter 1. Chapter 2, who makes the profits? Chapter 3, who pays the bills? Chapter 4, how to smash the racket? Chapter 5, to hell with war. And, you know, that was what he wrote. Chapter 4, how to smash the racket. Well, it's a racket, all right. He wrote a few profit and the many pay. But there's a way to stop it. You can't end it by disarmament conferences. You can't eliminate it by peace parleys at Geneva. Well-meaning but impractical groups can't wipe it out by resolutions. It can be smashed effectively only by taking the profit out of war. Here is what he suggested. The only way to smash this racket is to conscript capital and industry and labor before the nation's manhood can be conscripted. 1 month before the government can conscript the young men of the nation, it must conscript capital and industry and labor. Let the officers and the directors of the high-powered executives and the high-powered executives of our armament factories and our munitions makers and our shipbuilders and our airplane builders and the manufacturers of all the other things that provide profit in wartime, as well as the bankers and the speculators, be conscripted to get $30 a month, the same wage as the lads in the trenches get. Let the workers in these plants get the same wage as all the workers, all presidents, all executives, all directors, all managers, all bankers. Yes, and all generals and all admirals and all officers and all politicians and all government office holders, everyone in the nation be restricted to a total monthly income not to exceed that paid to the soldiers in the trenches. Let all these kings and tycoons and masters of business and all those workers in industry and all our senators and governors and majors pay half their monthly $30 wage to their families and pay war risk insurance and buy liberty bonds. Why shouldn't they? They aren't running any risk of being killed or having their bodies mangled or their minds shattered. They aren't sleeping in muddy trenches. They aren't hungry. The soldiers are. Give capital and industry and labor 30 days to think it over, and you will find by that time there will be no war. That will smash the war racket, that and nothing else, Smedley Butler wrote. And, you know, who is going to argue with the unimpeachable witness of Smedley Butler? Hard to find a legitimate, credible argument to those words. So that, to me, honors the memory of the men and women who have died, the 1.3 million who have died while serving in the country's armed forces. Having honest conversations like that. And I think we need to do more of that. Anyway, let's go to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
I'm loving what you're saying. because in the last couple of years, there has been some changes. I think a lot of people thought somehow, you know, that the Republicans were going to save them and Trump was going to save them. And I think it's finally settling in that that's not going to happen, where maybe we can get back to where we kind of were before. You know, the Republicans at this point control all three branches of government, the governorships, most of this country, okay? And I don't see them fixing the Federal Reserve. I don't see them stopping the wars. I don't see them, okay? And so the thing is, and this, you know...
I think that's disingenuous, quite frankly. I think it would be more honest if we said that Congress is neutered and it's the handmaiden of power, basically. What do you think?
Well, it is both sides, but right now they're the ones that have the most power, okay? The Democrats do not. Like I said, don't get me wrong. I am an independent. I see a problem with both sides, okay? Don't get me wrong.
But do you really think that anyone in Congress effectively wields any power, or are they just mouthpieces for power behind the scenes?
Well, exactly.
Behind the throne.
They're sold out because they're whores, okay? Yeah. So the thing is, this is the deal. This is what we have. What I have a problem with. And, you know, because since you've been in the military, maybe you can explain this to me. You know, the thing is, like, say, I love Smedley Butler and War of the Racket. Like you've shown, Smedley Butler gave us the answers. And you know what? Another thing I have a problem with? It's like, you know, the thing is, the Constitution says no standing army. Hello. So, you know, a lot of veterans should be really hacked off that by fraud, in very many ways, they were tricked into breaking the supreme law of the land. They should be hacked off about that. But there's a brainwashing in effect, okay? Like, I'm so glad because it's like one of my favorite movies is Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, okay? But this is the thing. I know that, you see, because I don't do chick flicks, okay? And so the thing is, Shooter with Mark Wahlberg, oh God, there's so much in there, but that's such a guy movie, and it has puzzled me for so long how I know there's a bunch of men and a bunch of military and young soldiers and everything, and they all go watch Shooter, and then they don't get the message in the movie. You know, it's like they just kind of go enjoy the movie, but the real message of that movie of how Mark Wahlberg was betrayed, you know, by his own country and left behind, sent out to do something that was wrong, and his partner died, and then he was left behind, and, you know, it's like, the thing is, it seems to go straight over their head, you
know?
And
the two of my favorite scenes from Shooter, my favorite scene is the hangar when Danny Glover's character is talking to Mark Wahlberg and says, "You're one of the few guys in the world who knows what to look for. We could use you." And we could use you in a sense, obviously, is a play on words that Mark Wahlberg's character doesn't realize. But the irony is when Danny Glover's character is saying, "You know what to look for," as Mark Wahlberg's character is walking out of the hangar, the flag on the back of the hangar has the Union on the wrong side, which historically is a sign of infiltration and subversion. Clearly, he did not know what to look for, or he would have saved his partner's life and himself a bunch of time and trouble, which is ironic. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Welcome back. Once again, we're on the phone, sort of reflecting on Memorial Day and all it portends. We're on the phones. We have Renee in North Carolina. Renee, speaking of Shooter, who can forget the epic scene, Ned Beatty's character, Senator Charles Meacham, up on the mountaintop, you know, in his little diatribe. There are no sides. There are no Sunnis and Shiites, no Democrats, no Republicans. There are only haves and have-nots. And to me, Ned Beatty does a great job of playing the completely disgusting Senator Charles Meacham, who is a character I'm sure embodies, you know, those whom you loathe.
Wine balls in Congress, you know. But the thing is, it's like people, and don't get it mixed up. If you've not seen this movie, it's like it is not The Shooter. That's a different movie. You want to just watch Shooter. I know for a long time, I used to really keep an eye on this movie. It stayed for a long time in Netflix. It just stayed in the top 100. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of people watching this movie. And they used to run on TV all the time. And I was, like, addicted to this movie to the point if I would be switching channels and that was on, I would have to stop and watch it, okay? No matter what else, I would have to. I love that movie. And so, you know, because there's just so many great lines in it. But see, he is one of the few that...
Bordop and I have conjectured that the reason for the television series was to sort of dilute that, to muddy those waters a little bit.
Well, I don't know, but the thing is, he was one of the few that got even. But the all the other men out there realized, look, you've been put in a meat grinder, and we don't talk about it. I think it's kind of for pride and ego. Like you said, we sweep under the rug all the damages of war. Like, you know, the alcoholism that it causes. I know I've told this story before, and other people, other guys called in and said, you too? It's like, me too. My dad did the same thing. When you had to go wake up your father, you had to be real damn careful how you did it, because my dad was a paratrooper in World War II, and you had to be careful where you did, how you did it, and I'd be sticking my arm out real far, because I knew many times he came up swinging, and I'd get it right in the face, okay? And I've heard other people tell the same story, and I knew another guy I went to high school with. I remember he Rodney, would come to school looking like hell. Well, his dad would have him up in the middle of the night, you know, drill sergeant marching his kids around the backyard. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on as a result of all these men having gone through this. And you see, we tell all the glorious parts, you know, and we pin all these little stripy ribbon medals on their chest. What was that saying? Was it you the other day that said Napoleon said he could have won the war?
With more blue ribbons.
Yeah, quit falling for that. They'll make you lose an arm and a leg, and they give you a little piece of stripy grosgrain ribbon with a little piece of bling dangling off of it, and you have two
and
legs.
And then they'll
on
send
it.
You right, and they're waiting for you at Walter Reed so that they can glue some, you know, DARPA parts back on you and make you the $6 million man in the latest transhumanist project.
But the thing is, you know, the thing is that But, you know, this has been going on for centuries, and we have to quit falling for it, you know.
The real heart of the provocative irony is that we have basically been inculcated into and really seemingly embraced in this culture the worst of the, you know, the Prussian model, from the school system to this – blind allegiance in feigned patriotism to rogue political regimes. And now, you know, you take that to the next level where we have these mercenaries for hire concept, and that's, you know, considered the real upper echelons of the military. It's not just special forces anymore. It's you get out and now you get to make, you know, I remember back in 2006, talking to a guy who loved to brag about spending 3 months overseas and, you know, making well into six figures for, you know, doing horrible things and unconscionable things, bragging about it. And that was back then, and it's worse now. And speaking of back then,
I have a neighbor who couldn't pass up the money. Went to work for Black. His father told me, he says, yeah, because I kind of knew, because he was in the Marines for like the minimum amount of time, and his dad told me, he went to work for Blackwater. He said, the money was just too good to pass up. That's exactly what he told me.
Well, for those that don't know, I will say, if you get into these conversations, what you will always hear from these folks, I mean, without exception, is it's coming. You got to pick your side. Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be on the side that's right, or do you want to be on the side that wins? That's what they always say. You go back to Katrina in 2005 when Blackwater had boots on the ground and helicopters in the sky, hired by, you know, wealthy folks in the area. It's the same conversation every single time. That's, to me, what is scariest. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol, I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special, but I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here?
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. And, you know, just as a kind of reflection on the subject matter, a million years ago, back in 2009, when Michael Anthony's book, Mass Casualties, A Young Medic's True Story of Death, Deception, and Dishonor in Iraq, came out, we had him on this broadcast. I interviewed him to talk about his experience. I have his book, and it's beyond words. And that should be the conversation we should be having. That should go along with, I think that should accompany the trip to the recruiter's office, if you will. Take a copy of Mass Casualties with you. Talk to Michael Anthony. Listen to his story and so forth. So I've been trying to do that for, you know, forever, basically. Anyway, we're starting to stack up on the line, so we're going to have to keep moving, Renee.
They're only told this story after his father died. He notices the girl, but you know, we as kids, we don't ask questions. You know, somehow you get the vibe you're not supposed to ask and stuff. His father would never drive. His mother drove them everywhere, and she didn't tell Jesse Ventura why until after he died. He couldn't get behind the wheel because he remembered when he used to, he drove a tank, and he remembers hearing the crunch of when he would be driving over the bodies. He could never drive again. People need to think about that.
Yeah. Yep. I appreciate that. Thank you, Renee. Appreciate your call and the discussion as always. Back to the phones we go. White Rose in California. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. Long time no speak.
Yeah.
I'd just like to make a couple of points of fact and tell people where to go to get some information also. Point of fact, the real battleground is within. God endowed us all with a spirit. Our spirit is our mind, which indwells our entire body, every cell. Inside our spirit, our mind, also dwells a small father fragment of God, a pre-personal father fragment of God, who does nothing to force us against our free will. Also indwelling our spirit, our personality, is our ego and our soul, which is a seed. The battleground is for our spirit to overcome our ego, which is the seat of our material intellect. Okay? With that said, I'd like to define a couple of points. I am an anti-Semite, because to me, a Semite is a phallic worshiper, a self-lover, okay? A Pharisee, all right? Where can I go now? Where can I go? The battlegrounds within, I would like to shed some light on where you could find some information to help fight your battle. www.thewhiterose.simplesite.com. Go to abundanthope.net and read the works of Jacob Lorber. Start with the shorter ones first, and then go into the 600-page Gospels of John that he wrote, which are lengthy, but very, very illuminating. With that said, I wish you a good day and a happy life.
Thank you. You as well. Appreciate the call. And back to the phones we go. The lines are stacked up, so we got to keep moving. Laura in Michigan, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. First of all, I want to say to White Rose, an anti-Semite is a person who doesn't want to accept Jewish supremacy. So there's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to have the Jewish supremacy. It's a simple way to put it.
I didn't comment, but I disagree on both counts, respectfully.
Why?
So, because I don't think that, my historical veracity for what I believe is Genesis 10. And so nothing that he said or what you said is corroborated in Genesis 10. That's why.
Oh, anyway, the reason I called.
And Romans 2 and Romans 9 is kind of where I go from there in the New Testament era when we start to talk about identity theory politics.
We're spiritual Israelites. God divorced the Jews in Jeremiah and also in Amos. He says, I will not pass by them again.
Right, and Paul clarified in Romans very specifically what actually transpired to the benefit of all mankind.
So, anyway, the reason I called, I wanted to tell you about my favorite war movie. It's Sergeant York. Well, Sergeant Alvin York in the World War I. That movie is so Christian, a very Christian war movie. Sergeant Newark, you know, he lived in Tennessee, the hills of Tennessee. He got drafted. They didn't even know what war it was. They didn't even know what a war was up in the hills of Tennessee at that time. And it goes through the whole movie, you know, he didn't want to kill anybody. He tried to get a conscientious objector, and they wouldn't let him. So he finally went to war. And he only killed what he had to, it was a defensive move. And that movie is so wonderful. And in the end, this is the best part. They gave him a parade in New York, and they gave him the key to the city of New York, and all endorsements start coming in. He could make thousands of dollars, which had been a lot back in that time. And Sergeant York says, no, I cannot make money. He says, I had people died in that war, and how should I be able to make money when they died? It just wouldn't be right. Did you ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sergeant York stars Gary Cooper, who's from Montana, by the way. So, you know, got to like him for that. Just kidding. But Sergeant York was directed by Howard Hawks. And speaking of James Cameron and Ridley Scott, you know, Howard Hawks was sort of that caliber, obviously, of his day. And I always thought of Sergeant York as a sort of World War II propaganda film, sort of romanticizing war. But I agree with your points. I mean, that obviously is, you know, that's honorable.
I just feel that kind of integrity. You know, people come back and they want to write a book to make some money. You know, he says, no, I don't want to make money off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And how have you went through, you know, he read the Bible because he didn't want to shoot people. Remember that part?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He took a lot of prisoners because he, you know, didn't to avoid shooting. He only shot the people who he had to shoot. I just think everybody should see it. I was at Turner Classic. They used to always play that movie on Memorial Weekend, and they did not play it this year.
I didn't know that. That's unfortunate. Yeah, they have for a long time, and that's unfortunate.
I don't know how you had a bad read on that movie that it was propaganda. Because I didn't, it was World War One, number one. And
it sort of romanticizes the concept and sidesteps the issue that conscription to military service is disingenuous.
Right.
So you can fight a good war. There is no such thing as a good war.
Yeah. I mean, they actually, you know, they didn't even know. They go, what war? Europe? What's that got to do with us? These people didn't understand this at all.
Yeah.
But he had to go.
Yep.
So I just think it's one of the best movies, war movies there is.
Yeah.
I really encourage everybody to order them or Netflix or whatever.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, Gary Cooper from Helena, Montana. So, you know, us Montanans, people from, I was born in Libby, Montana. So we know about guys like Gary Cooper.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Laura. I appreciate it. Back to the phones we go. Paul in New Jersey. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul.
Chris, I want to address what, Renee had said last week, actually, because she said she was talking about how nobody bombs the mansions. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, during the war. And what I wanted to point out is that there's a good reason they don't bomb the mansions, and it's because in those mansions, that is where all the good plunder is.
Well, you know, as you were about to say that, I was thinking, what is the castle that the Nazis occupied that, you know, speaking of plunder, anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. Go ahead.
I'm sure they would occupy all kinds of, you know, castles to plunder and where the good art is. So you're not going to destroy, you know, the good art.
Yeah.
And and by the way, that's one of the great things of why I prefer Western Christianity is because we have the best art and we, you know, in a sense, idol worship or allow idols or tolerant of them. Because as we know in Judaism and in Islam, there are no ancient statues because they consider that idolatry. But thank good for the God for the Romans and the pagans, because they've left us such a great repository of fine art.
And that reminds me of, I don't know, I mean, the presentation clip that we played of W. Kirk McNulty talking about the Enlightenment and the Age of Reason, you know, the philosophical background for Masonic symbolism was the title of the video. And also, I don't know, I forget exactly what the connection was, but earlier today I was thinking about Hislop's Two Babylons also, and the Hermetic, or no, the Hellenistic connection there and going way back. Anyway,
right,
that
now,
to me is a thread that parallels what you're saying as far as Western Christianity is concerned.
Yeah, well I like art, and I know of all the great religions, I always think that Christianity has harbored the greatest art in the world. And it might have been, you know, funded and promoted by the corrupt Medicis of Italy in the 1500s and 1400s, but they're long dead, but the art is still there, and it's still beautiful and something that we all hopefully can appreciate, and hopefully we have religions that tolerate the human countenance in statuary and elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one last point. You might like this story, and it's part of the reason why when some patriot types, and I've heard them out there, they're talking about the Reichstag fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ever... there's a really good book on Hermann Göring by none other than David Irving. And he relates the story of that when Hermann Göring found out the Reichstag was on fire, he ran into the Reichstag to save the tapestries. And that's why, if you think about the Reichstag fire, it could have been an inside job. But at least you know Hermann Göring wasn't part of that inside job, because he would have gotten rid of the good art and taken out the good art before they set that building ablaze.
It's an interesting point. I don't know the context. I'm not familiar with those remarks by David Irving, but that is a provocative bit of information.
Well, the book is called Göring by David Irving, and it's out there, mm-hmm. and he tells that very tale.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm saying, just about how, and in a sense, we should remember, if you're ever getting bombed by people who appreciate art, then hide in museums. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're not going to want to destroy that. And in a sense, that's kind of unique about the Nazis. And Göring was the wealthiest man in the world at one point. And he was such a fan of... classical European art, and he hoarded it, and so did the Nazis in their salt caves. You know, and they, of course, as we know, harbored and protected and want to save up the non-degenerate art, the classical art, not modern Marxist deconstructed art.
Well, you know, that's sort of an interesting, I don't know, side note on the Memorial Day discussion, I guess. It's interesting. It's interesting stuff.
Well, I've said that if you don't want the elite to think we blue-collar schlubs and working class people are such complete trash, if we would culturally elevate ourselves, you know, I think even the elite would be less desirous to want to bumping us all off if we preserved, you know, classical culture. You know, they're not going to want to, even the elite, like the queen and the worst of the insiders, they're still going to want to preserve orchestras and opera singers and people who can, you know, at least provide the entertainment of the fine arts for them.
Yeah. You know, on the David Irving excerpt, again, I haven't read the book Göring, but I know that William Scherer in his book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, wrote that Goering basically admitted starting the fire. So that's kind of interesting, you know, how that sort of squares. That's kind of why I was scratching my head on that.
Maybe he, had it planned as just an out to make it sound like he didn't know and pretended like there were tapestries he wanted to save. Who knows?
Well, that was according to William Scherer, it was Goering admitted at the Nuremberg trials. He said the only one who knows about the Reichstag is me because I set it on fire. So,
but then again, anyway. Goering was dead, and so blame it on the dead guy.
Yeah, possible. And you know, David Irving obviously has read a lot of the documentation with his own eyes. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Chris. This time,
you bet, Paul.
100%, no joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time?
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself. Don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case wonder why. Well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. That's too good not to, you know, play through. So, the chairman of the board. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, May 29th, 2018. Point of clarification before we go back to the phones real quick. Hermann Göring's Wikipedia entry states under the Reichstag fire at the Nuremberg trial, speaking of William Scherer's book, and what I just said, at the Nuremberg trials, it says General Franz Halder testified that Göring admitted responsibility for starting the fire. He said that at a luncheon held on Hitler's birthday in 1942, Göring said, "The only one who really knows about the Reichstag fire is I, because I set it on fire." And then goes on to say, in his own Nuremberg testimony, Göring denied this story. So just a point of clarification. Lest we be accused of spreading rumor. Don't want to do that. Anyway, back to the phones we go. David in Ohio, thanks for calling. Welcome. Now, I guess we lost David. Sorry we lost you, David. So, you know, that's it. But circling back around, meant to play the clips, didn't get the clips today. I suppose we should do that again. I really want to sandwich them together. Maybe I should just make a YouTube video of them and do that. Heaven knows, you know, 2009 was the last time I made a YouTube video. Anyway, whatever. But I hope it was informative nonetheless. I really do think we need to have an honest conversation. Why can't we do that? I've tried for years desperately to find a way to affect some change. You know, again, I mentioned Michael Anthony's book, and he has his other book out in 2016, Civilianize, a young veteran's memoir. But the, you know, his 2009 book, Mass Casualties, Young Medic's True Story of Death, Deception, and Dishonor in Iraq, is one that I always think of around these times. And it is the gritty firsthand account of and very unvarnished account of Michael Anthony's time in Iraq. And man, if you want to know what's going on over there from a low level boots on the ground standpoint, what's really going on, I think Michael Anthony's book Mass Casualties is a must read. So anyway, I think an honest conversation is essential, is a must, a sine qua non if we're really going to honor the memory of anyone who has been conscripted to military service, and especially the people who died while serving in the country's armed forces. Anyway, that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care, God bless, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.